This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. If you're a news junkie, and who isn't, right? It might seem like the presidential election was the only thing worth covering for the past year and a half, or maybe the only thing worth listening to if you're on the consumer end of this. Of course, we all know better. There were other stories worth covering that didn't get much play or much attention, which should be of concern to those of you who believe in this whole informed citizenry thing. In other words, what did we miss? What stories passed under the radar while the nation recoiled at endless campaign season outrages and sat riveted to the horse race? Well, we think we have found someone who can get us up to speed. His name is David Uberti. He covers the media for the Columbia Journalism Review. David, welcome to Texas Standard.
Hey, thanks for having me, David.
This is a tough challenge for you now. We put you on the spot. We're trying to find the stories that we've missed. This was something that you've also been thinking a lot about. How did you approach the issue of finding those stories that didn't wind up landing on the public interest radar?
Well, it's a very difficult question, I think, particularly in 2016. You have a lot of stories where the media, mainstream media in particular, does cover these things. But the way we share information now, it really gives a lot of power to news consumers. So even though the media in some cases does cover specific stories, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily get sort of bubbled to the top of your Facebook news feed or your Twitter feed or whatnot. So having said that, I mean, decidedly the less sexy stories than the campaign have been things such as, you know, the American economic recovery. We have very far long-range job growth that's just now converting into wage growth as well. We have global conflicts, and I'm not just talking about ISIS, but I'm talking about proxy wars between Saudi Arabia and Iran and Yemen. And then, of course, we have sort of the underlying situation and the humanitarian crisis in Syria. And then finally, I think, you know, on the home front, we have some pretty sort of seismic cultural shifts within the United States. You know, 9 states have marijuana on the ballot this year,
right.
Which is a pretty landmark moment. And that comes into addition to, you know, the Supreme Court taking up transgender bathroom issue. Mm-hmm. And also often overlooked is the fact that this is the first year where same-sex marriage has essentially been law of the land. And I don't think we've really sort of taken a step back and realized how that has changed or not changed the way we go about our daily lives.
This is really interesting. I'm trying to think of if there's some unifying theme about these stories that explain why they are largely underreported here, I mean, other than the election. You mentioned this phrase, and I thought it was interesting, and I've heard it in the news business, sexy stories. Well, what is it that makes something like a campaign season a sexy story and something like, you know, economic recovery or, proxy wars unsexy?
You know, it has a lot to do with our American political culture, right? We have sort of a celebrity-driven campaign environment. And you could really sort of crystallize a lot of what is said on the campaign trail into small snippets that are easily shared or sort of easily put out, converted into a television advertisement. For that reason, we can sort of dumb down, for lack of a better term, a lot of sort of the political communication that takes place in our presidential campaigns. Whereas if you look at, you know, proxy war in Yemen, that's a super, super complex topic. It requires a lot of historical sort of understanding to understand the root causes of those conflicts, and then also sort of geopolitical knowledge in the region. So I think, you know, the way that we've structured our campaigns as journalists and politicians, it really sort of bodes well for us to simplify them into a very sort of easily shareable, compact, bite-sized nuggets that we really sort of enjoy, at least in small doses.
Lots of media outlets have been reporting a spike in revenue, obviously tied directly to this election. Just look at the major TV news channels, right? How do you think that money factors into this in the long term?
I think you have to sort of differentiate between different media outlets, right? Cable news is not a growth medium. There's probably not many young people who are, you know, buying cable packages, but the election has definitely provided them a shot in the arm. You know, with print and digital news organizations, on the other hand, advertising as a business strategy is not sort of a surefire bet anymore. So I don't think there is as easy of a translation between, you know, exploding audience numbers and increased revenues.
David Uberti is a staff writer at the Columbia Journalism Review who's been exploring why certain stories get a lot of coverage and why others seem to fall by the wayside. David, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.